Welcome to Serial Podcast 9, a podcast about cars mostly, and drifting, and trips to go drifting, movies maybe, car shows, wheels, suspension components, like the premium suspension components found at SerialMine.com. You'll also find fully sick shift knobs, limited run custom steering wheels, bushings, hats, shirts, and much more. Get yours now at SerialMine.com. You're likely also to hear about buying and selling weird JDM cars, scooters, Tesla peasants, fully sick wheel fitment, BMW headliners, power window and blinker speeds, beers, cameras, and probably some dad jokes starring Gerard D. Don't Ask Dumb Questions Peralta, Kevin Tire Pressure Problems Peterson, and the host with the most percentage of beer, Ryan, bring me my craft beer Benoit.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing okay.
Only okay. What's up?
Why is okay?
Why is okay?
I'm just always like fine or okay. I never say great.
Why not?
Maybe after I have this beer, I'll be on top of the world, baby.
Well, that's why I'm great, you know?
I've been sitting on this one for a while. Motor oil. Death Before Decaf. It's a barrel-aged Dirty Chai Imperial Stout.
Dude, that sounds so intense.
Yeah, it's probably really strong.
You know what it sounds like, Kevin?
What?
It sounds like lo-fi bedroom fucking.
Lo-fi bedroom indie house?
What is that even?
Nicole and I went to a concert last night, and I was like trying to figure out a genre in case Gerard asked me like what kind of music it was. And then I mentioned that to Nicole, and she thought it was funny because she also looked up the genre, but like thought the title or like thought it was like a bullshit title. And it was like lo-fi bedroom indie rock or something. She's like, it's basically just four adjectives that mean nothing when you put them together.
All right. Do the intro.
Welcome to the podcast. The podcast is... I'm Gerard DiPeralta.
And I'm Kevin Peterson.
Sorry. And I'm Ryan Benoit. And this is the podcast, if I were to do it Gerard style. But if I do it Ryan style, it's Serial Podcast 9, episode 95. We have four more episodes before we have to figure out how to make a video. I love it. I love a challenge. If you listen to the last podcast, you know I love a video challenge.
A video challenge.
Also, I got to say, this podcast is going to be a little bit strange. It's a bit of a throwback because we're doing usually alternate weeks, but like we did one last week. Kevin's going on vacation, so we had to get it in where we could. And now we're doing another one. So I'm still fresh off the last podcast.
But we should, carry on with the tradition and the Costa Rican podcasts. Kevin should be the Costa Rican podcast connection.
Serial 9 loves Costa Rica. That's the news flash here. Loves the Costa Rica chair.
Yeah.
It's in the news.
How could you not? I mean, I've never been. I'm about to find out. So.
I've never been either.
I assume, how could you not?
I was on vacation recently as well, but I was only in California, so not Costa Rica.
You
were
at the happiest place on earth, though, really.
And I went to a place that is...
You went to your happiest place
on earth. Nice.
First, hang on. I was doing
Let's talk about that. Okay.
Well, I went to Joshua Tree, you know. And let me say, it's where the streets have no name.
Is that what that was the YouTube bit?
The YouTube bit.
YouTube. Oh, okay.
Joshua.
I said YouTube.
No, yeah, sorry. With my bad.
No.
Yeah, I will say.
Was Jude with or without you?
That's a good one. Look at that. Jerry. Fucking firing.
On all cylinders.
She was
coming
there.
Up with dad jokes.
So actually, hang on. When we did Drift Week, I was like trying to, I don't know. I pitched that we should take the Alteza to Joshua Tree for some reason. It was a dumb idea. Kevin was like, yeah, not a fucking chance. We got places to be.
I mean, it wasn't a dumb idea. I was down with the idea. I was like, yo, that actually sounds interesting and cool, and I'd like to see it. I'm just like, we have absolutely no time.
Yeah, and I was like, we'll do this and this. And Kevin's like, you big dummy. This is not what we're doing. So my family drove in like the back way to Joshua Tree. So it was really funny because we started out being underwhelmed. And as we left, we were like, oh, pleasantly whelmed, you know, like, yeah. Oh, I get it. Yeah. But yes, I did go to Moon Eyes. What a treat it is to go to Moon Eyes. I imagine anyone listening that enjoys Moon Eyes, no, going to Moon Eyes in California isn't the same as the Japanese spot. I've never been. I'd like to one day, but this isn't the time. This time I dragged my family to Moon Eyes, and they were like, it was before we went to Universal Studios, where I saw a man wearing a Serial 9 t-shirt with a graphic that I helped Jerry with on front, and I got very excited and started talking to the person, and then it was just kind of like mildly awkward. I don't know, for me, probably not for him. I was like, oh, you Serial 9. And he's like, yeah, I'm like, you can read my shirt. And then, hey, what kind of car do you have? And I'm like overexcited about it. And then it's got a GS, and I ask him what parts, and he's got the AKs, which I think is great. And at this point, so like, I just seem like a weirdo.
He had a GS with AKs already?
Yeah, he's from Texas. Pretty,
so he was like one of the first buyers for sure.
Yeah. And then I said, did you watch the install video? And he said, oh, yeah. And then I said, oh, the blue car is mine. And he's like, oh. But then I said, do you listen to the podcast? Cool
story, bro.
Well, fuck, I don't know. Man, he's wearing a Serial 9 t-shirt. Anyways, and he bought your park early.
He's in Disneyland. He's probably stoked to talk about cars for 10 seconds.
Yeah. It was Universal in the Hogwarts area.
Sorry.
So, Jerry, you would have been right at home. My favorite part is I'm like, oh, do you listen to the podcast? And he says, Serial 9 has a podcast? And I said, yes. And he says, with Gerard? And I'm like, be so weird if it wasn't. And it's like, no, we do it in his honor. And I was like, yes, and Kevin. And then the awkward pause where I have to be like, and me. I should have just been like, and Ryan? Yeah, he's great. Ryan. You should have just followed Ryan.
Really ate that dog food on Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then he's dead.
Then he was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, he's like, oh, just crazy, like running into someone here like that. And I was like, yeah. Anyway, super cool. And then we went our separate ways. And then about 5 minutes later, my wife sent me a text message with a picture of the guy wearing the shirt. He's like, this guy's here, Serial 9. And I was like, oh, yeah, we talked.
No, you didn't, that wasn't your photo, eh?
No, that was Jody's photo.
Oh, okay.
If it was my photo, I would have made him pose for a photo with a guy that he's never heard of on a podcast. He didn't know that it existed, that maybe had Gerard. Let's do a selfie.
Sorry, what was his name again?
I want to say Adam, but I'm not sure. I'm sure it's one of those things that I'll think about for a long time. I was like, oh, that's probably really awkward. And he will probably never think twice about it. Like, oh, that weird guy from Canada while I was at Hogwarts. I will say I only saw like 2 cool cars while I was in California. But they were really cool.
Were they both at Moon Eyes?
Actually, no. The Moon Eyes cars were cool. That was very fair. But no, I meant like in the wild. I saw like a really nice S13 and like a pretty cool 350Z with it. The S13 was way cooler, and I was like, yo, that's the, and then I like turned to tell the Uber driver, which I was like, oh, he doesn't care. He was driving a Prius, and then I was just impressed by his fuel economy because it was very good. I feel like Gerard, in the spirit of last week, you sent me another video of another car this week, and I want to know, do you like that car?
I mean, it's too fucked up, man. It's crazy.
Okay. It's so crazy, actually, you love it?
No, it's like, no. It's actually like not as like it should be fully terrible, but it's like the best version of that level of terrible it could possibly be. That it's almost acceptable.
That's like a perfect way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was worried that we were growing apart.
It's the zenith of a style that you don't like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It has aspects
of things that I do like. It's almost so well executed that you could like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like everything you like turned up to like 15. Like even would the fenders, say, like they're terrible, but like when you see it from the back, you're like, man, that thing's like kind of crazy, you know?
I will say that like we probably shouldn't just talk about another video that we can't show the people again.
Agreed. I was going to say, will you say what car it is or do you care?
Everybody said on the internet if they're, well, I mean, it's that super wide Aristo from Japan. It's like gray or silver.
Yeah. And it has like the biggest bubble flares fenders in the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're kind of like really flowy and they just sort of like end at the fender.
Yeah.
They're just unbelievably wide. They're probably like 150,000 mil per side. Like,
the car is unrecognizable. Together. Yeah. Like the silhouette from the rear is just like a completely unrecognizable vehicle.
Yeah. It is doing the most.
And it's totally like good. Fully like a UFO. Like it legit looks like an actual UFO.
Yeah, but like an old, like what we thought UFOs looked like in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
You know, I do appreciate how we think UFOs look differed depending on what the style is of the time. Anyway, you know, just food for thought. Hey, so I was in California and one of the things I missed was the opening of Up Garage America. Yeah. I would have been 15 minutes away from it. I could have gone it. Yeah, it's like 15 minutes by car from Disneyland.
Wait, it opened when you were there?
No, because it opened last weekend.
Right, because I was going to say the timing was not that of that.
I probably would have tried to go to check it out if I was there. The internet is divided over it. I'm only getting the bad press. What are you guys seeing from Up Garage? Just
the bad. I'm only seeing the bad.
I'm just seeing memes. You know what I mean? And like, memes are gonna meme. You know, like even if you're down with it, but you think of something funny, you're probably gonna make that meme. You know,
like that's interesting.
I'm not seeing negative. I'm seeing
negative.
Okay. You got it. There's a lot of negative. I saw one person leave a very positive review of the place. I don't think they were there. I think they were doing it as an act of kindness.
Solidarity.
Like, hey, you guys, like, this is a step in a direction and you should be supportive. And I'm torn. So all the things you've seen, what do you make of it? Like, what do you think? Very popular Japanese automotive retailer comes to North American shores, opens a spot.
I mean, you see it, 3piece.us even made like a reel about it. And they're like, oh yeah, like maybe they just don't understand that, like, you know, like $7,000 is a lot for these wheels here. It's like, you know, they're kind of just like trying to pretend inform you, but in fact, they're kind of like basically sort of shit talking. I don't know, man. It's kind of one of those things, like the internet, man, it's like you can never do the right thing. You know what I mean? It's like there's always those people that are like, oh, I could get it for this much or I could get it for that much. And it's like, realistically, man, I mean, I'm not saying those VSKFs, because we're all talking about the $7,700 VSKFs or whatever. And it's like people can say, oh, I can build wheels for so much cheaper, this and that. And it's like if those wheels were like the craziest specs ever, then maybe they could be worth $7,700. But like, I think they're pretty normal specs. They were aggressive for sure. I think they were like -20, -7, and like 10.5. Like they're pretty aggressive. Everyone will just be like, oh, I could build wheels for cheaper. It's like, you don't know that like built wheels are not fucking work wheels. They're not the same. And I'm not saying that the VSKFs are worth $7,000, but your built wheels are not the same as work wheels. I don't give a fuck what you say. They're not the same. So if you could get the exact same wheels, either custom built or, you know, built from work, 100%, I would pay well over $1,000 more for the work wheels. But at the end, $7,700 is just way too much for any wheels.
American, Jerry. Yep. So that's like 10K Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do get to stroll up there and like look at the wheel before you buy it and pull it out. You know, hey, yeah, is this good or bad?
Yeah, you do get to see it.
You can walk away with it.
You can buy some like absolute junk off Yahoo in the right size and then refinish it for $7,700. You know what I mean?
But especially like with the yen being so low right now, it's not going to have the original.
No. I mean, if you had that size and they were like trashed, like not trashed as in like bent and need relipping. I just meant refinishing.
Refinishing. Like, but then also you're not going to get that like anodized lip either. You know, you're always going to have that milky lip from the water pooling. You know.
Yeah. How much is the most expensive wheel from work? Like, if you were to go into the work catalog and buy a set of four, like roughly, what do you think you're spending?
$1,500 to $1,800 each. Okay. For like a 22-inch, you know, they got those new.
Yeah, you can do that like custom order plan. You could get the like lips like a custom color. You could get the face a custom color. Yeah, it's limitless now.
Right. I'm going to say the dumbest thing, and it's because I'm going to excuse myself from what I'm about to say. One, drinking a very strong beer, drank it very quick, and I didn't have dinner. But VSKFs, are they like dead stock, or what? What's the set brand? Like, you can't get them anymore?
They brought back a few of the wheels. No, VSKFs did not come back. What did they bring back here? They brought back... So the VSXX is still
The VSXX never left.
Which is really weird for me.
I feel like that. S1 has never gone away. The M1 has never gone away. Like,
they did bring... Oh, is it Meister? No, they brought one of the original wheels back. Oh, Emmets. Yeah, they brought the Emmets back.
Yeah, but only in like big, big size, right?
Yeah, so let's say a 21-inch Emmets is probably going to be real fucking expensive.
I would think so. That's a wheel for Kevin. Another thing I saw on the Up Garage front was those $20,000 Mazda Speed seats. I've seen other FD, like OEM FD rare model seats recently that sold for $30,000 or something. Yeah, there's a weird market for those FD parts, you know?
I mean, these are the same motherfuckers that are probably spending $7,000 on Blitzo 3s. It's like...
Or VSKS.
I haven't said...
Or VSKS.
Blitzo 3s in a while.
The other thing is like, yeah, you also just don't... You never know who's going to walk in with money and think that's a reasonable price.
Yeah, maybe they don't want built wheels, and maybe that's just the exact size they need. You know what I'm saying?
Or maybe they don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, when I was... The first thing I bought for my car... was brand new $700 Takata racing harnesses. It's like, was that an efficient use of my money or like a responsible thing? No, but I was just like, yo, that's sick. And like, you know, so I bought it. Like,
you don't still have those harnesses though, do you?
Oh yes. There's no way I'm going to like strap myself into the coffin with those harnesses.
Yeah. That's an efficient use of money though. But if you still fucking have them, like, solid, man. That's
actually almost I'm going to make sure that happens when you die. I'm going to make sure that this
cat, you're going to be alive still.
Around, for sure.
Why are you so certain why is that you sure die?
Please tell me
that
why.
Kevin dies first.
At 10 years older than me, you will for sure be around. For that,
I got good genes, man. My grandma died at 99 years old, and I'm relatively healthy, so I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to live long.
I don't know. This got really got gloom, and I don't like
it. I mean, you guys are talking about me. Anyways, I was making a joke. I'm just kidding. I'm going to make those Takata harnesses.
I got good genes.
Actually, like the bride coffin. Yo, how are the car guys going out? You know what I mean? Like, I just want like a million burnouts at my funeral. You know what I mean? If anyone has a car who can do a burnout and I die, please just come to my funeral and do a burnout. You know,
Jerry, so, I'll be that's sure all to I organize want. That for you.
I don't care who. Yeah, if Jerry organizes that, that's sick. I'm stoked. Yeah. You know.
Well, he'll be alive. Thank you for doing
that work for me.
Jerry, I'll just be sitting around.
Well, Jerry's got the most to live for.
He'll be 99 thinking he's still doing a podcast, just him talking about BMWs.
To the computer screen.
Back in my day.
Today on Serial Podcast 9, we're talking about BMWs.
Kevin, I'd argue you buying those harnesses and you still got them is like a very efficient use of money, because they've probably gone up in price brand new and you still have them, you know, like...
Yeah, but harnesses are a safety equipment, and they expire. Like a helmet.
Damn.
Like a helmet or a seat does. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Silly me.
No, I mean, honestly, they're still like 1,000% safe, you know?
Yeah.
But they're just not legal for race use.
Because of capitalism. No, I don't know.
Exactly. Because of the FIA and the goddamn capitalism.
Yeah. It's made of plastic, so it deteriorates.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
Oh, those are the most expensive wheels I've seen from work. The forged Genosis CVFs in a 22-inch by 12.5-inch size. That is a fucking massive wheel.
What are you putting that on?
Like a GTR?
Mini, like a truck?
22s are like what you'd put on like a like an Audi, like RS6 Avant. You could put 22s on like a G80. I mean, they'd be fucking huge, but like you could do it. I think their stock is 20s, so like, you know, if you wanted your car to look like a Hot Wheels. Yeah. Other 196,000 yen.
So that comes to...
Yeah, I mean, that's basically like, what, 1,800 US or something like that? Or 1,700? I don't know what the end at right now. Yeah, per wheel.
Which Genosis was that?
CBF. It's the five-spoke one.
Okay.
But that's not... So what? That's...
I mean, that's still pretty cheap compared to, like, I mean, you buy a set of, like, Brixton Forge or any of that shit. They're, like, 10, 15 grand.
Yeah, that sounds not that bad. You're getting a lot of material in that. And 22,
I mean, 22 by 12.5 is a massive rim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so big.
I mean, you could get the negative.
But also, it's like a forge center. That's also cool or crazy, you know?
And it's a negative 46 is 180 mil of lip. It's fully, like, 7 inches of lip.
Yeah, that's like a whole, like 3/4 of a ruler.
Yeah.
So realistically, you're spending a couple more bucks and a pose for the VSKFs at Up Garage, and you're getting new 22s. Yeah.
Yeah, but also, I don't want that size, but yeah.
No, I know. I'm just, it's the best value. 19s.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, they're not even that expensive in 19s, like for a forged wheel. Like I would get like a 19 by 11 rear. It's like $1,200. It's not even that bad.
I guess it's the idea of it's the nostalgia / the dead stock idea of these wheels. And maybe that. And then look, it's a retail space.
I think they had brand new tires. Yeah. I also would think that any of the price there is basically, you know, the price in Japan plus shipping here plus, like Ryan was about to say, like there's, you know, brick and mortar retail space. Like I feel like any of those JDM importers, anytime I look at anything, I'm like, it's not the right price for me, you know, like Get Japan or whatever. It's like, man, they bring in containers and containers and containers of shit that is always selling, and then like every time I'm just like, I'm not paying that, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Evidently people are.
I thought it was going to be expensive even when I saw it was opening. I'm like, oh, that's super cool. And then, Jesus, what's going on, Jerry?
Sorry, I found even more expensive ones, but go on.
Oh, how much do they have diamonds in them?
They're fucking really expensive.
How
the 22-inch forge LS Varges or whatever are 290,000 yen each.
Which is how much? Do the math for us.
I mean, that's like 2,500 US each. Expensive. I know it's super chrome.
Super chrome, buddy.
That's super chrome, though. We can talk about this in a second. I just want to finish up with Up Garage USA, Japan. I was going to say, when I saw it was opening, I felt like I knew it was going to be expensive. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Maybe I've just done a few more tours around the sun, but I was like, why wouldn't it be expensive? Like, it's not going to be the one in Japan. That's in their backyard. Now there's a whole ocean in between. You can't just open in a strip mall and be like, man, I can't wait to get me some like discount JDM prices. But also,
that they're bringing over an entire containers. Like, you know what I mean? I guess if you do factor in, but I mean, let's say you pay $4,000 to bring a container over, divided by fucking like 300 items at least. Like, yeah. How many fucking items do you think you fit in a container, man? Like,
but I know you're not wrong, but I'm just going to hop in right there and say, but they're also doing this to make money. And they're probably like, how can we make the most money? And it's just charge the most money for stuff.
Like, I mean, yes and no. Like, they're not going to be that stupid.
It's not always
like,
sustainable. How do
we make the most money? Yeah. And then we've like tainted our name fucking permanently, instantly. Like, that doesn't seem like good business practice.
But it seems like they just did it. And now they, which was my next question, was going to be like, how do they move forward? Do they continue and hope that everything rises to meet them? Or do they eventually have to like readjust their prices and be like, oh, yeah, sorry, we like miscalculated slightly?
I'm going to throw something in here real quick that might not be able to go in. But they wanted to sell Serial 9 there.
Yeah, they reached out because we know Kazuya. We've worked with Kazuya before.
Yeah, because we have – exactly. So we sort of already had a relationship about this. We knew it was happening.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't silent about it either. They were making posts about it happening, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that was sort of when we were switching to our, like, no dealer model.
Well, I think that's flattering, and I think Up Garage has a name, and it means something. I know not for everyone.
Yeah.
I know people that where I was, they were like, "What do you like, Up Garage?" And I was like, "I don't know if I do," but someone gave me a sticker when they went to Japan. I'm fine with it. I don't have it on my car or anything because I never bought anything from them. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so I wasn't surprised by what transpired. I don't even know if I'm surprised that people were surprised. You know, I was just kind of like, yeah, that would be
what would happen. I'm surprised.
I wasn't surprised. The other hoopla from it was apparently they were trying to be courteous and they gave the local law enforcement an update being like, hey, we're going to have this big opening. We're inviting cars out. And then apparently the cops just like posted up and pulled people over as they left the event. So people felt betrayed because they were like, hey,
that's a bit of a fucking kick in the balls for show.
Feels police, like probably like the Japanese way.
Yeah, it's like you kind of want to do the right thing, whether it's going to work or not. But like now they're going to be like, yo, fuck that, because it didn't work.
I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of learning experiences in there. As two business owners that do a thing, how would you move forward if you were in this situation? You've kind of become a meme and people are, you know, do you stay the course and hope that the market meets you? Or do you try to like meet the market or... how would you respond?
The thing is, we have no idea how they come up with those prices, right?
So yeah,
we
don't exactly know
what they can or can't do.
Like maybe those VSKFs had like brand new Toyo tires on it. And it's like, you know what I mean? There's $1,400 in tires alone. Mm-hmm. I know it looked like they had brand new tires on it. All of the rims in the photos I saw had tires, you know, looked newish. Because also I don't think Up Garage is sending over Japanese tires. And Up Garage USA probably isn't selling non-DOT Japanese tires on these wheels to kids, you know?
Right. This is like a weird move to put fucking new tires, because what if they're the wrong size or what if they don't, you know what I mean? Like,
I know, I get it, man. I get it. I agree to that. But I all of the wheels in that one photo had tires, so.
Yeah,
no, that is a good point, Kevin, because we don't take that into account. And I didn't ever actually think about that. Like
a good set of tires these days is $2,000. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's fucked. Like,
what a time we live in. But no, yeah,
Jude was just freaking out the other day when he was just like, yo, man, like tires, my cost for my truck are like $350 a tire. Like my cost.
I forgot to include the cost of the tire, probably like most of the people did. And that is true. But then the other side is I also assume that the tires are on there. I'd have to scrap to get the tire that I desired for my wheel for Up Garage. But yes. Yeah, how, I mean, too, right? Yeah, I know.
Or you could sell them, but still like it's.
Yeah,
but I ain't got that hustle, but
we talked about that recently. It's like tires are almost like a one-time use.
Yeah.
Like the crazier your tire setup is, the more closely it's going to be a one-time use, you know?
You know, I know you talked about that recently, like how tires are kind of like seem shittier these days.
Way worse,
You know what's the craziest thing? on the Blit, I'm running the Varianzas now. I have the exact same tire sizes I ran in 2008. Exactly the same. And I mean, maybe the rims, you know, the surface isn't as good anymore and this and that. And, you know, they've been on and off fucking. These wheels haven't really seen that much action.
No, these wheels have not been abused at all.
And they're always been mounted professionally. They're not mounted by like some dumbass who's like scraping the mounting surface or something. They're all fucked. The back ones leak like crazy. They leaked when Danny had them. They leaked when I have them. It's like they didn't ever leak when I had them. I literally put these wheels together. I drove them. I got the tires changed a bunch of times. Mind you, we always used Panther back then, but still, like, I went through at least 2-3 sets of tires on these wheels. They never leaked. I ran 225/35s on the front before. They never leaked.
Drifting. One thing I will say is, like, it was just a little bit confusing because you're like, yo, they leak. When I had them, they never leaked. It's like, all right, maybe you got preface that you previously had them like 10 years ago.
Yeah, these are my leaked. Old wheels from 2000.
But also, like, you also said I built them, and I, like, you didn't build them. They're original work wheels. They've never been taken apart.
I never said I built them. Yeah, it's just like we like the amount of tire problems we have lately is insane. I've never had tire problems. Like
tires are just way worse.
Yeah, I've never ever had tire problems, but all of a sudden this year, I've got all the tire problems. Like all my fucking tires leak, all my fucking tires DB'd. It's and the car just sits there. I mean, I get it.
You've been hanging out with me too much, buddy.
Yeah, like maybe it's just like the tire pressure gets a bit low sitting there and then you move it out 10 feet and it beats. I get it. But like, yeah, this year, what was that thing I did? I put the tire on, put my wheel on, I go to drive. Didn't realize that it was like fucking 20 PSI or something. I shift in a second, tire DB'd, and it just like do a burnout on my rim, brand new rim. Fuck. It's never happened to me.
Here's what I'm hearing. Tires, everything around it, even what we're discussing, is getting more expensive. Yes. But the quality seems to be going down. And when we talk about even these parts, it's like, yeah, like we talked about up garage. Maybe somebody comes in there and they just throw down a wad of cash. And this isn't a new topic for us, but yeah, the game that we play has gotten more expensive. And now it also seems like the quality of the shit that we're paying for is maybe going down a bit. But
I feel like it's like universal. It's not just like a car thing, you know?
No, that's life. I can't even. I made the joke a long time ago, and it was younger me thought that older me would be like, yeah, of course I'll have like a Skyline and an S15. And it's like, oh no, the market shifted around me and I stayed at the same place. Like the thing that we love and the world that we live in has gotten substantially more expensive, where it's like, I can't even fathom spending $7,000 American on a set of wheels. I don't even know, how I would afford to do anything with my car realistically if I wasn't around both of you. So it's definitely a wild time to be a car enthusiast. It's the more popular than it's ever been.
You know who's buying a $7,000 set of fucking wheels? A dumb fuck
YouTuber.
Oh, I mean, okay, besides that, like nobody should buy $7,000 VSKFs. I don't give a fuck who you are. That's a terrible financial decision. Let's just say they're 77. If you have $8,000 to blow, you could probably spend $4,000 and spend $4,000 on something else that like is gonna like either make you money or like.
Dude, I spent 35% less than that on my entire Lexus.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like
that was like 3,100 Canadian. Like,
or 7,100
Canadian.
Anyone who's spending that much money on a wheel from that long ago, yeah, it's probably not the best move unless you're finding it for like
a deal. It's not the best move. It's a stupid move. It's not the best move. It's actually like a really dumb move.
It is.
You could buy an entire car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I did.
And those motherfuckers, they're probably renting. You know what I mean? They're fucking paying rent and buying $7,000 wheels.
They're not even homeowners. I know. I'm just
If you're not buying a house, you don't need to buy $7,000 wheels. You could buy a fucking engine. You could build an entire car for $7,000. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know if you can anymore. Can you build an entire car?
We have an Aristo for sale for $7,500 US. If you're listening right now, comes with a 2G.
That's actually a good point. You can get a set of wheels with tires that you may or may not be able to use. But hey, hang on. Or you can get a fucking 16 Aristo with a 2J in it. Like
the entire car. It's got sparkly headliner.
Entire car. Yeah, that sparkly headliner even. Oof. That's great. Anyway, sleeping on things. But so there are deals to be had out there if you're listening to the podcast. Hey, what's actually the cheapest way to get parts from Japan? Like used parts from Japan?
The cheapest way? I don't know. Because I know like Streeter and it's expensive as shit. No, Mike Lee's was super cheap, but it like took forever. Like that, and that's what I think it is. It's like Streeter, you get your parts in 4 days, but like the tree costs 40% more than what you pay for the part.
Because you get it air shipped, right?
You also know it's going to be packaged so well that like it's not going to break, and you're getting it like very quickly.
I mean, I've never really bought anything from Streeter. I've asked him questions, and he seems very on it and very good to deal with. So shout out to Streeter. We were heading in a direction, and then we stopped, which was talking about the cost of the hobby that we do, where Kevin bought a car for less than you could buy a set of work wheels. Used? I don't know if they're used or not. So anyway, used. A set of 100% used work wheels from a California retail front, which is, you know, wild. And Canada is lucky. We get access to cars before Americans do because of our 15-year rule. And that's really great. But going back to the VSK apps, it kind of reminds me of very early on in the podcast, Gerard, you used to talk about like, there's always a new catalog of work wheels and there's all these wheels that you can choose from and you can get them custom built to your size if you want. And if you got that much money in your hand to walk into a store and just be like $7,000, give me these wheels. You could custom build a new set of wheels. So what's stopping people from just buying from the new catalog? Like, what do you actually think when you dig into it is the deterrent?
Single word, clout.
Just the shortest segment we've ever done. No.
All right. Well, I will go into excruciating detail about what might make one want to purchase the wheels that are not in the newest catalog. Right. So me, myself. to me, it's like, I don't know. I always wanted Emmets. Like, I've always wanted them. It's like, you know, or like Carving Head 40s. I've always wanted those. And it's like, I feel like the only way to get them is to buy them old. And maybe you finally are at a point in life where you can afford them, or, you know what I mean? You finally, like, I want those Garson drug wheels in 18-inch face, three-piece, like, so bad. But same thing. It's like they're just so ridiculously expensive. There's so few of them out there in that configuration around that, like, if they come up, they're really expensive and you got to act real quick. And it's like, if that's the, you know, if the vision you have in your head for the last 10 years is building this vehicle and this is what you've envisioned and you finally get that holy grail thing, like, might just be time to drop that bank, you know?
The last wheels I bought, the MAEs built, I mean, I've always wanted, you know, MAE, another set of MAEs. I've had MAEs before and I really like those wheels. And then I thought that was the look I wanted for the Blitz. So I bought them and I really do like those wheels on the Blitz. But then it sort of came up that I got my Varianzas back from back in the day. But yeah, when I was, you know, working on, you know, getting a set of MAEs, I had to do the whole like buy these faces and then buy them in this specific size. So I only have to buy outer barrels or outer lips and this and that. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I think they came out to, all said and done, it might have been like $4,000 or something, which, I mean, it's a lot of cake, but like, yeah, you can't buy those wheels. I can't buy them in that exact size. So you had to build them. I had to refinish them. But the shitty thing is, like, even after all that said and done, they got old hardware because like the hardware on MAEs is very specific, and you just can't fucking buy it. So I can either change the look of the wheels by changing the hardware to some new shit, which I realistically should have done, because you have old rusty hardware that's original and looks cool, but does it look cool because it's rusty? Or you just change to the new hardware that looks a bit odd, but it's new and shiny. And if you didn't know what MAE hardware looked like, you wouldn't have a clue that it didn't look like that from the factory. So did I want MAEs? Yes. Did I have to spend money to buy them, build them? Yes.
Did you have to make some sacrifices along the way?
Yeah.
Or like compromises, I guess is a better term.
Yeah, exactly. Like at the end of the day, my quote unquote brand new $4,000 wheels have rusty bolts, bent center caps, and fake fucking gels, which is,
I mean, and milky outer lips because they're not anodized.
Yeah, so exactly.
You always got to polish them.
And they leak and they're not strong, right?
Yeah.
So like $4,000 on a brand new set of works, is it a better wheel? 100% it's a better fucking wheel. Seals every time. You drive it on the fucking wheel for like 10 blocks, no problem at all. Like beautifully anodized, perfectly super strong outer lips that look good literally for decades if you take care of them. The face quality, super, super good. Like my Varianzas like look amazing and they're literally 15 years old. The rear lips, however, have been repolished because like they got scratched up one time and shit. They've been kind of through the ringer a few times, but like they still look pretty good. You know, at the end of the day, it's very difficult to buy the exact wheel you want and the exact spec you want and blah, blah.
You have to buy a brand new.
Yeah, you have to buy a brand new.
I want to say this, Kevin, you brought up, and fuck, I'm going to just say the name in the way that I like to say it, because no one's ever told me.
Emits.
Everyone says emits because it emits greatness. It's emitting. But you say emits like it's a name, but then I feel like it should have two M's. So I don't know. I love the game of I've only ever read a thing and never heard someone say it.
I only ever mispronounce everything. So
I
like the George Costanza. Like however I pronounce it, pronounce it the other way because that's probably the right way.
I like to say emits. I get emits, whatever. They still do have those. I don't think they're as...
They dropped them for a while, but like Gerard said, now they came back, but I think in only 20-inch plus or something. It wasn't like you get like...
19, 20s, and 21s. Your boy could run them.
Your boy could.
I was about to say, that's probably if I were to run like an actual... shiny non one piece
VIP wheel.
It'd be those fucking wheels because my boy Zap used to run them on his S13. So, and
S13 with Emmets.
You've never been. It's fucking wild.
Yeah, I bet that is wild.
Fucking vibe is what my boy did. Anyway, I like to talk like that when I've had too much to drink because I didn't know what we were going to talk about. And and when I talk about Zap, because I think he'd like that if he heard it. But yeah, no, his car looked fucking great on them. And they're a cool wheel. But they're super fucking heavy is what I know. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not wrong about
that. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll drift on them for a bit. Final bout one, I believe he drifted on them. For a little bit with Hot Boys. If anyone out there is not familiar with the Canadian trio Hot Boys, look them up. They're worth a look.
Honestly, anyway. my Enki three spokes aren't a light wheel by any means either.
Yeah, I believe we covered that when it's like Kevin's going to go racing and it's like probably shouldn't run on these.
Yeah,
the Triforces.
I mean, honestly, stock BMW wheels aren't really light either, and that's what a lot of stock BMW guys race on.
Well, I'm not a stock BMW guy. Yeah, like, what are you talking about? I have a highly modified Altezza, not a stock BMW.
I'm just saying there's probably more BMWs at the racetrack on BMW wheels.
Well, I'm going on 8.6 day, so it's all 8.6 Corollas and FRSs.
Hope you all are ready to eat it. A boy's bringing a 1J to a knife fight. Okay.
Cameron will be there with his 1J.
Oh, yeah, that's FRS. Cameron's great.
Exactly.
Love that. But, I mean, you go through all of this. Everything we've just spoken about, everything we've been talking about, it is all very expensive. The hobby of being into import cars, so hot right now, so hot right now, is very expensive. Like, it's not, you know, it's not an easy game. And it is wild to watch people presumably spend as much as they do on things because maybe they don't have the knowledge or the want to do the other thing. How do you feel about it, Jerry?
I mean, what am I going to say? Like, hey, car guys, don't spend all your money on cars. Like, there's a threshold, man. Like, realistically, all these guys, people building cars can't afford it. Like, nobody can afford these cars. Nobody can afford this hobby. It's 100% like a luxury, like almost addiction type hobby. I used to work at Mopac, which is basically like Summit. And the boss even said, he goes, nobody that ever comes into this store needs anything here. They never, ever need any of this shit. They just want it. And that's the fucking truth, man. Because we're like guys or whatever. Obviously, there's girls into the sport too, but primarily guys that just want cool shit and just want to go drifting and do all this. We're willing to literally spend all of our money on it. And if you're young, it doesn't fucking matter because you're like, I'm young. I'm never going to be young again. I just spent all my money on it. I'm going to make more money. You know, it doesn't matter. I just got to get to this event. I want to shred. Like, but there is a threshold, man. Literally nobody should spend $7,700 on wheels. Like those wheels. I mean, I get it if you have like a fucking Lamborghini and you're buying like, you know, 22-inch Brixton Forged Dymag carbon lip, all that shit. You can spend 15, 20 grand. But you can spend 15, 20 grand on wheels if you can afford a fucking $200,000 Ferrari or Lamborghini or whatever the hell it is. But like your car's $4,000 shouldn't have $7,000 wheels on it. You know what I mean?
Like, no, you're not.
I don't know what you mean. Yeah. You're not drinking the Kool-Aid and you're telling everybody else not to. So.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, like, I don't know if this is the best thing to say because, like, you know, your car's $2,000. You shouldn't spend $7,000 on fucking suspension.
Wow.
But realistically, though, our suspension is the best. But, like, those wheels, they're not the best. They're just a wheel. Like, our suspension does stuff that's different than other suspensions. The wheel holds the fucking tire. That's
but we also just talked about how, like, the original work wheel is the best wheel.
Okay. So, hold on. So I think the difference is the parts that you're selling have been designed within at least the last decade, whereas people buying these nostalgic parts are buying kind of like dead stock nostalgia. And probably work has, in the time since they released the VSKFs, has probably furthered their design and their tech and everything else. And when they build a wheel, that you could probably spend less and get a better built wheel. Telling people, oh, you don't need to spend money on like suspension or whatever you want to say is different because no, you built it within a reasonable time frame. You're not selling nostalgia. You're selling
technology.
Like a technology, practical use. You know, like you're buying the latest thing. You're not buying a memory or a dream.
But realistically, those wheels are probably the same as today. They haven't changed the like construction.
Well, fuck wheels.
And if maybe even somehow they're better.
Oh, okay.
Like,
well,
I mean, materials aren't what they used. It seems like every company is like scrimping and saving, and you know what I mean. Like everything, like we just talked about tires. Tires aren't what they used to be. The same tire 10 years ago is not the same tire today. You know.
I mean,
should be better.
We'll say though. I get what you mean. I will say though, Kevin, the tires that we fuck with are not the tires that people talk about. Every fucking tire we run is shit. So like we're playing in the fucking mud. When like people who talk about tire technology are talking about tires mid to high price, you know.
Yeah, but those tires are so expensive.
Because they're fucking good. Maybe that's why that's why these tires are shit, because the bottom line has come even lower than like before. The bottom line was ATR Sports. And those are made in Indonesia.
And then they got real bad though. They got real bad.
I mean, I don't think so, man. I think a certain couple sizes were bad. And it was the HR Sport 2.
It was the was twos. Bad. Yeah.
And I don't know if that was the technology or the construction. I don't know what it is, but yeah, those tires were pretty shit. Anyways.
But also one thing I will say though is like we're also trying to operate at the extreme of tire envelope. Like we're trying to run the most stretched tire on the most camber and ask extreme performance out of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And maybe you need the actual $900 tire, not the $180 tire at that point, you know? If you want that tire to last the 5 years and not ever DB'd and not leak and like, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe, because it could be as simple as like, for example, those Chinese tires, the bead part where our tires, because they're so stretched, rides on, is not a very important aspect to them.
No.
Because the tire's not supposed to be used in that manner. So they're like, oh, okay, that inside weird fucking corner. Yeah, I don't really give a fuck if the rubber's like consistent or inconsistent there. Nobody ever fucking uses that part. It's completely irrelevant for sealing the wheel.
Yeah.
Until you stretch the shit out of it, and that's the only part sealing your tire. You know what I mean?
So before drift week, I knew I had to run a 225 on the front Valino instead of the 215 that I would normally run. So I got a 225 Falcon. RT615 or no, it's the whatever they call it now, the 660.
Okay, yeah.
And man, that tire, it was a little bit bigger than I'm used to running, but man, I had no problems. I never had a single issue with that tires the whole time I used them. And then I bought a Falcon. It wasn't the tire I wanted, but it was I think it's a 912. Falcon 912.
Zeddy 912,
yeah. Yeah, in a 215. 215 35.
40. 215 40 18. You don't run 35s,
man. I swear it might be a 35, bro. But anyway, yeah, you might be right.
Anyways, go on.
No, but that was for the Crown. And I've never had a problem with that tire either. Because same thing. It was just like I was just so tired of having all these problems that I'm just like, I'm going to pay a bunch more and buy like a Falcon or above, like actual name brand tire.
Yeah. I got those used Nexans from the two tire guys or whatever.
Yeah.
215, 40, 18 used Nexans. And I drove them till they were dead. Stayed on the front of the blip. I drove them till they were bald. They're good.
But man, I don't know, man. Those pro racers, City Tire Pro Racer or whatever, like, those seem to be an amazing tire. Like,
I do love their naming, which is like, what is it like?
I mean, it's not even called that anymore. It literally, it's got like another name already. It's already something.
And that's the other problem. Is like also like there's the exact same tire. It's called Pro Racer is the name of the tire, but then like the tire company I think is like City Tire or something.
I love it. So
yeah.
Good.
Go on.
I was just going to say, like, I couldn't get that exact tire, apparently. But then, like, I could get the exact same tire with a different name on the side, which is the parent company of that other company or what, you know, like, that's the other thing. It's like every two years, they're like, it's a different company, you know, like.
Yeah,
that's to alleviate liability, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Every 2 years, the same tire has got a different name. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much cheaper for them to change the fucking sticker mold for the, like the label. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One thing I will say before I forget, sorry, I have to interrupt you. Buddy of mine Shiraz reached out and basically said our fitness episode was super good.
Very nice. Love that. What were we talking about?
We're talking about tires, shitty tires.
We were talking about tires.
We keep skirting around.
Oh,
yeah.
The idea that the world is substantially more expensive, and I think you're touching on a thing which is interesting is that there kind of aren't a ton of shorts in anything. It's like you kind of pay for what you get.
That's literally what we're talking about is shortcuts.
It's like, oh, we have all these tire shortcuts.
Yeah, but it's not a shortcut.
But then it's like,
It's not the thing. That's what I just said. It's not a shortcut.
Yeah.
It's like buy once, cry once. And it's, or it's like, oh, buy once and destroy two inner lips on the side of the I-5 and like not be able to drift that weekend once, you know?
Yeah.
Or twice.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's not a shortcut.
Or every morning before I drive my car, I got to check tire pressures
on all four tires.
Exactly. I got to keep the fucking pump in my car
all times.
Every single day, I have to pump up two or three tires.
It could happen. Exactly.
All right. What I meant was the shortcut is saving money by buying the lesser thing because everything else has gotten so expensive. Mm-hmm. That's the shortcut. And then
don't buy the lesser tire.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I also don't buy tires as much as you guys do, so it's a different thing for me.
I can't afford any of this shit. Like none of it. Like if Serial 9 wasn't funding my cars, I wouldn't have any of them. Like not even fucking one. I'd have the truck.
Yeah.
That's it.
I was just gonna say it's just like, yeah, but Gerard, would you be working at Mopac still?
No.
So maybe you could afford to have those cars or a car.
Not yeah, honestly. I mean, if I didn't work at Serial 9, I would be making more than I make at Serial 9.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, like, you could afford to have some things.
Yeah, it's just in my current state, making what I make, there's no way I'd be fucking spending.
Yeah, you just wouldn't have three cars and be, you know.
I honestly couldn't spend any money on cars, like none. The truck, it's like I got to buy the suspension. And if I ever had to buy tires for the truck, I'm just parking it. I can't afford tires for that truck.
It is absolutely wild to exist. And I feel like I make okay. I don't know if it's even considered okay-ish money. But exactly. I remember the first time I... these days. I don't know. The first time I told Gerard how much I made, I feel like he kind of made fun of me.
Really?
Not like actually, but like it was when we were going to Monroe because we've had so many conversations since then. No, we were going to Monroe for the public or the private day.
Yeah.
And you were like, we want to pay you your daily wage. And I said, it's fine. And then you're like, no, like, how much do you make? And then I told you how much money I made in a year. And then you shouted it at Kevin, like, across the market. You're like, yo, Kevin, this guy makes... And I was like, and then I was like, should I, like, feel good about this or bad? And I didn't know. And then I felt, and it was a very funny experience. I had taken the day off to like go film you, and I was like, it's cool, don't worry about it. But no, I agree. Every
but I mean, I think that my point was that we didn't want you to take a day off and not make money. I don't think I was trying to like laugh at how much you make or whatever.
I don't know what you thought about it, but you're like, yo, Kevin, this guy makes X amount of dollars. And I was
because I think what it was we were like, oh shit, like how much are we gonna pay Ryan? Like how much do we pay Ryan? I think Kevin was like, well, let's just pay what he makes every day, like in a day. And then I asked you, and then I probably yelled it out. I was like, yo, like, oh, we don't have to pay him $400 or something for the day is probably what it was. But yeah,
we thought you worked at this tech company where they sell beer and fucking you're going on vacations to fucking.
Did sound like you made like a lot of money. I was just like, can we?
But maybe there's just a lot of perks and you don't make a lot of money.
I
still think at that point when you were making X dollars, you're still making more than Gerard and I currently make. So
yeah,
that's what that was my takeaway. It was like Gerard was more like, yo, man, this guy makes more than me. And I was like, don't pay me.
No, whatever. Like you made more at that point than we make now.
For sure.
To the point that you were saying, Gerard, the hobby right now, given where everything is in the market and being the age that I am and probably not having as much of a handle on my life as I should or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how I would maintain my hobby if it wasn't for my proximity to the Serial 9. Even to the point where it's like I was telling both of you the other day where it was like, hey, you know, do you want to go to Weekfest? And it's like, man, my car hasn't really changed in probably like 7 years. Like on the outside, the car show part of it, that car is very much the same. Every year that car shows up at a car show, it's like, hey, here's a five-speed Aristo on Kwamis, you know, like that's kind of the shtick. And if you didn't like it the first time, you may not like it the next like 2 times.
4% of the people who went to that car show knew that it was manual. 3%, you know.
You're right. I should make a sign. I was like, when we had the conversation, it's like, you know, do you want to put your car on Weekfest? And it's like, should I like actually put effort into it to be like, hey, these are all the parts on it. Like, do you maybe put a QR code where someone can go read about it or
watch videos
to the Serial?
Yeah. We should do that this year. Yo, we should do that this year. Is make those
stands.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. So the world has gotten more expensive, as we kind of alluded to before. The idea of spending $7,000 on old wheels is wild, and there's probably other ways around it. But yeah, how do you be into this hobby?
I got a better question.
Yeah, ask.
Are there any hobbies that are getting cheaper? Oof. Because this isn't the only, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm sure there's a million hobbies that people are like, if they weren't into it 10 years ago or 5 years ago, are sort of already priced out. You know what I mean? Like, are there hobbies that are getting cheaper or staying the same? Or like, I'm sure a round of golf is more expensive than it was 10 years ago. And not just like at the rate of inflation.
Keep the riffraff out. I will say, I want to bring this up as Gerard thinks of what he's about to say. I had that moment again where I was at, my daughter went to a birthday party and I had to be an adult around other adults that I didn't know. And I was like, I don't have anything to talk about with like other dads that aren't Gerard.
No.
Yeah.
You can talk about parenting.
I don't want to.
So that's a universal.
Fine. That's kind of lame.
I'm here with the kids are playing. I don't want to talk about parenting. Yeah.
What I noticed is I was at the birthday party. The dad running the birthday party noticed that another dad was wearing a hat, and I think it was for a golf course somewhere. And they're like, oh, and they were like talking about it. And I'm like, yo, but you don't know that I got a 2J Aristo.
You're that meme in the corner. You're that guy in the corner.
Yeah, I am that guy in the corner. Ask me what Moon Eyes is. Do you want a complicated answer to what my jacket means? Because I got one for you. Which is like,
yo, nice jacket. Where'd you get it? You want a 20-minute answer? I'm your boy.
You want to? Yeah. You ready for something you didn't? That happened to me at Walmart the other day. A guy was like, oh, what's Moonies? And I was like, well, one, you're illiterate. And two, let me tell you. And then
Moonies.
He misunderstood and started talking to me about cosplay. And I was like, all right, you're probably not wrong.
Oh, yeah, your number, buddy.
Yeah, I am a cosplayer. I'm playing as someone who turns wrenches. Yeah, anyway, it is. It's wildly expensive. But you are not wrong, Kevin. What is getting cheaper? I don't think the shoe hobby is getting cheaper. I don't think
If you're photography into boats,
is getting cheaper.
Yeah, photography, helicopters, private islands. None of these hobbies are getting any cheaper.
Biking? Jerry, is biking getting cheaper or more expensive?
I mean, it depends. I would say it's getting cheaper. The barrier of entry is definitely lower in my world because I would never
you can just
ever
go steal a bike these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I would never ever have gotten a full suspension bike if it hadn't been for COVID. Because COVID, you know, everyone wanted a bike, then they couldn't get a bike, and then they got the bike, and then COVID was over, and they're like, well, shit, I don't really need this $4,000 fucking paperweight that, like, I got to like go to trails to ride and stuff. And I feel like a bit of a fucking dork going to Starbucks on this full suspension bike that like, you know, so I'm going to sell it. So like, you know, now there's just like this flooded used market of like expensive ass bikes. So nobody's buying them. So then you just buy them for cheaper. Like,
was that how much was your bike? Question, is that the same person who buys the VSKF?
The used bike person or the person that bought the $4,000 bike in the first place?
The $4,000 bike.
No, the $4,000 bike person is a person who has money. Certain people, when they get into a hobby, they got to do the most. You know what I'm saying?
So people like you.
I mean, I think I'm a medium. You know what I mean? Like that's I get what, into a hobby.
I bet you do think you're a medium.
Well, I mean, I didn't spend the $4,000 on the bike. I didn't do, you know what I mean? Like I have a lot of bikes, but they're all like kind of shit used and stuff.
Dude, you were like just recently complaining, being like, man, like I just bought $3,000 worth of bikes in the last 6 months. Like, what am I doing? Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Like, you're like, what am I doing? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Enjoying yourself. I don't know what you're doing, but like, whatever. Like, I don't know. Like,
well, I also bought the one bike in anticipation of selling my motorcycle, which I haven't done yet. So there's that.
Right now is the perfect time to sell, buddy.
I know. That's why I ordered the parts to fix it. But anyways, yeah. Like
you should just sell it. You're not going to get like significantly more by spending that time to fix that motorcycle.
Well, it has to run. It doesn't run at all.
I know that, but I'm just saying by the time you get that running, you're going to have spent like $300 and like 10 hours and like then you're gonna get $800 more. Like,
I mean, that's a significant amount of money, and it's not $300. I spent $150 total done
so far. Anyway, continue.
It's gonna run. I know it's gonna run.
Sure
fix that bike before. I can do a lot of shit at home. I just gotta have the fucking thing here, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I put a headlight in the Blit the other day.
Didn't have what do you mean? Get out of here. All right, keep moving this train. Let's get this train going.
What were we talking about? I was talking about something.
I don't fucking know. We were talking about bikes. And like spending money. Yeah, oh, like
bikes are getting cheaper.
Well, no.
I don't know. That's
bikes
true.
Are getting cheaper. Because bikes are getting more expensive. But oh, yeah, because there are more of them, like today, when I went to go buy those spokes, for example. So kids bikes, kids full suspension mountain bikes, you know, fairly new genre. I would say like 5, whatever, 7 years or something. So, but anyways, obviously with anything, if your dad's into biking, the son's got to come out biking too. So he's got to have a bike that's capable. And obviously if you have enough money, like you're an adult, you make good money. Your bike is $7,000. So like,
hang on, that means I'm not an adult. Keep going.
Why?
You said if you're an adult, you make good money. And I was like, nope.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a thing, right? It's kind of, you know, it depends what you spend your money on, too. I mean, we got $5,000 wheels. This guy's got a $5,000 bike. You know what I mean? I don't know. It is what it is. But anyways, so now you can buy a kid's bike, like a 24-inch. That's like $4,000 or $5,000. It's for a fucking 9-year-old kid.
That's too much. I don't like that.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
June's bike was $120, and I cuss out the front brake on it probably every 3 days. But let me tell you.
Yeah. So it's kind of like cars. It's the same thing. It's like if you want a certain thing, sometimes it just doesn't exist. Like I'm fully the king of buying used stuff. I'm fully the king of scouring the fucking this market, that market to get the best possible used piece of shit that I could find because I can't afford the new thing. So it's like, you know, to get the new technology that is current on a kid's bike, the bike can't be more than 2 or 3 years old. So even a used bike for a kid is like $1,300, $1,500. That's a fucking lot of money for a 10-year-old kid. But you can't buy. A lot of
paper routes.
There's no other alternative for a full suspension 1x12 mountain bike for a kid. It just doesn't exist because that shit is expensive and that's what that costs. So it's like, well, fuck, am I gonna buy some shittier $800 bike or a more capable $1,300 bike?
I'm gonna say this real quick. It's like, I don't really think I grew up in like a poor area, but I also didn't grow up in like a rich area. But I also don't really think that like kids that I knew ever got anything that expensive. You know, I think that's like a sign of the times, perhaps. And then
but also, like
Brian said, like how many paper routes is that? It was like, I remember like that was a part of growing up too, where it was like, all right, like this is something that you want. Like you're going to have to like do the work to like earn it to, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah, it just seems like a different time perhaps.
And you know what? I think Kevin, I'm going to hop on and piggyback on this and say that sentiment is kind of like when you live like vicariously through your kid your kid. It's like, hey, I'm really into this thing, so you should be into this thing. And I will say, I'm not fully like, I don't not do that. June one day was like, I think I might be into skateboarding. So I took her to a very legitimate skateboard shop and bought her an entry level skateboard. Does she ride it all the time? No. Does she have a skateboard? Yes.
But that's the thing, like, right? Like you wanted to,
that's not to get 1200.
A good entry level skateboard. You could probably go to fucking Winners and buy
Walmart, like
shitty skateboard for $30. But you know it's going to be a piece of shit. You know it's not going to do the thing. So you spent a decent amount of money. You didn't spend the most money, but you had to spend the minimum to enter the level of the baseline, like the real person's baseline, not the like, oh, I have a skateboard and it's like, you know, from Walmart or some shit, right?
I feel like, maybe that's the difference is like in our generation, you get the Walmart skateboard until you wore it out and prove that like, oh, you actually like skateboarding.
Yeah.
Now you get a real skateboard, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure we all rode a lot of terrible bikes that were like terribly geometried and like skateboards that had like basically full plastic wheels.
Yeah, like full
shit. Yeah, rollerblades that like didn't fit at all. Like, you know,
100%.
Like, I agree. But our kids would never live through that. You know what I mean? Kids
would never live through that. At the same time, like, I guess you could liken it to drifting. It's like, if you're going to go on these trails that I'm going to be on my full suspension bike, he kind of can't really ride them on his non-full suspension bike. Because, like, I mean, you can ride anything at any, but I mean, he's going to be fucking like way behind and like I'll have to wait for him and shit. And like, he's going to like have a real shitty time and like get bucked off and all this other stuff. Right. So I could ride some trails with him, no problem. But then I'm going to have a shitty time. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, but that's the thing. You're banking on the parent involvement in it, which is like not the thing that necessarily happened when we were youth. It wasn't like, oh, my dad really likes mountain biking, so I need to have like a superior mountain bike. But anyway, again, not innocent of this. I took June to this skates shop, which is like the PD hot shop. So like Skull Skates, the location in Vancouver, and I was like, entry level board, please. And also I had them do I paid for like a one-on-one lesson so June could learn the basics of skateboarding with them. So yeah, I also get what you mean. I'm guilty of that shit as well. But even if I wanted to, I can't turn around and be like, oh man, I'm going to get my daughter a $1,200 bicycle. Like the idea of even a $400 bicycle, I was like, hey, that's a bit wild. One of our friends that we all know, at one point he was like, I'm going to buy my kid like the Power Wheels thing. And he was going through all those things. And I'll tell you right now, neither of his kids have Power Wheels because it's like, there's that sense. It's like, I want to give them something. And then when you sit down and logistically think about like how much everything actually costs and what the ROI is on it, it's not fully there. I know you got Dominic a Power Wheels and then you upgraded it.
Two Power Wheels, buddy.
Fucking free, man. Oh, they're both free. Yeah.
I know.
$399.
How much is a fucking Power Wheels?
Dude, Power Wheels? So the Power Wheels, you've probably seen my stories of when we go to the lake house and the kids used to ride that fucking kind of John Deere thing.
Yeah.
$700. $700.
Oof. But I mean, that's more than a Power Wheels, isn't it? A bit.
No, that's a fucking Power Wheels. It's just a different version.
I thought it had like a bucket and stuff. No,
it has a bucket, but I mean, it's still made by Power
Wheels. But does the bucket lift and like do the, I mean, you lift like it manually. All the stuff. Yeah, that still seems like it's a bit more than the Power Wheels. Like if that's 700, maybe Power Wheels are 400, brand new.
No, man, the shit is expensive, man.
The Power Wheels are fucking so expensive.
No, I'm going to Google this shit right now. I'm going to Amazon a Power Wheels. I'm going to Amazon some Power Wheels.
Because when you're a car guy, you
want
to make sure
you want the sick one. Yeah. Well,
I didn't
want
like the Tundra. I wouldn't spend $700 on Power Wheels. I'd be like, you want a Power Wheels? Like, fuck, sorry. Like, no, they're not worth it. But I will say, with that particular Power Wheels on the island, because it's on the island and that's, you know, where they go for like a weekend.
I guess these are all fake, but they're like $230 Canadian. Yeah, because
they're like, those are the fucking Chinese ones. They're one wheel drive, 6 volt. If you look at genuine.
No, they all say 12 volt. They say 12 volt. They all say 12 volt, but anyway, okay. Yeah, I'm sure they are probably garbage. No, you're not wrong. But that was just on Amazon. But like, I was like, this shit can't be $700. For like a genuine Power Wheels?
I mean, after tax and everything.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Or like from Walmart or Canadian Tire or something.
Toys R Us?
I'm at Toys R Us. It's $600 for the Barbie Jeep.
Yeah, exactly, man. This shit's expensive as fuck, dude.
Or the F-150. Those are the only options.
Yeah. Anyway, so I will Raptor. Say.
The Raptor.
Like, so this is kind of one of those things. It's a perfect segue into this thing. It's like you make this money. And like maybe the prices we're paying, they're not for the item. They're for the experience, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what different experience the VSKF is going to give you than like, let's say a fucking MAE. I don't know. But like the mountain bike, the wheels themselves, the car itself, you're not paying for the item. You're paying for the experience. So with the Power Wheels, that was $700. I didn't buy it. Grandma bought it. But like, the kids love that thing. They spend fucking hours on that thing. And all three of them have gotten, you know, they've literally worn the wheels out, shit on it. And like, you know, they put the rocks in the bucket and they drive around Bella in it. And they're so big now, I had to take the top off. Like, you know, it's been 4 years that thing's been just going strong.
Yeah. If you like added up the hours that it was probably like at this point, it's like $4 an hour.
Yeah. It's fuck off. Yeah,
it's the best, you know, best money you spent ever. And you didn't spend it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. But they're like, there's all of those toys that also cost the same amount, but didn't get used at all.
Oh, 100%.
Who knows? You know what I mean? That's the thing. You can never predict what's going to, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I mean, even if another good example, man, like, so at the lake house, we got the boat. And we tow the fucking tube.
You're not making good examples of how it's hot. It's tough on the everyday man. Yeah. So like, you know, the grandma bought the $800 Hot Wheels. And the fucking kids love it. And, you know, when we're at the boathouse, we got to tow the boat. And the boat costs money, right? There's money on the boat. We got to spend money on the boat.
I'm talking about value here, man. So anyways. When they bought the boat, it came with all that stuff. It came with the tubes and it came with all that shit. And it was like, it was fine. We used this. We used the tubes for the 2 years, the one for them. And then we went back the 1 year and it was leaking. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to fix it because that's me. You know, we're car guys. I was like, it's a fucking tube. You patch a tube, you peel it up and you fucking go shred, which I did. Grandma bought a new tube. I recommended the tube because I was like, okay, whatever. It's like a different brand. One was like Collins or whatever, and the other one was like Head something. Anyways, Airhead, whatever. Anyways, so I was like, oh, this looks rad, whatever, right? So get the new one, pump it all up. The kids are all super stoked on this brand new one because the old one's like all faded and shit, and like some of the handles are missing, whatever, right? But I've patched it up. I got it ready just in case for any reason the new one's shitty. I don't know why it could ever be shitty, except when I put it on the fucking boat. And I tow the kids, it's actually shitty. It doesn't tow the same. It doesn't fucking sit the same. They hate it. They're getting chucked off. It's not the same experience. And I'm like,
yeah,
fuck it. Let's go back and put the old one back on. The new one has been sitting there for two times we've gone. I haven't used the fucking thing. Brand new. Luckily, I thought they were way more expensive. Like I thought the tube was like $400 or $500. It was only like $180. But still,
I bet you if you get like the one that like works the same as the one that you got, it's $400 or $500.
Probably was, you know what I'm saying?
You know, that's the thing. That's that buy once, try once.
Moral of the story, it was free. It was free. And like, it's fine. You know what I mean? So, and same with that Power Wheels that Dominic shredded for fucking ever. That shit was free. So like, you can get deals. You can get, if you're half useful.
I'm going to try this. So, car guys, I think, can be resourceful. I think, you know, there's resourceful. Did I not say resourceful?
No, I said, yeah, you hit the nail.
He was agreeing with what you were saying.
You
summarized everything I was talking about. I wasn't cheap. Yes. I'm resourceful.
Right.
Yeah, that's the word.
So as a car guy, building a car, being resourceful, and, you know, in everything we've sort of talked about with the cost of living and life and being a thing, how would you recommend to resourcefully enter the car hobby and build a car? What would you do? How would you approach that?
It feels like you have to steer away from the popular things a bit.
I mean, don't buy cheap. Anyways, go on.
We talk about that, but we've also talked about how, like, you can have a very impactful car for very little mods. You can pick wheels that aren't name brand and fit them well and have a very impressive look. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of ways I feel that you can save some money. And then also it feels like, though, like with the experience that we have, because maybe that's just it. Like with the experience that we have, it's like, it's easy to be like, all right, well, I can just get this wheel for super cheap. That's going to look a certain way. And I'm going to get in this size with this tire size to fit a certain way. And then, like, there's certain areas that you're maybe not going to skimp on if you want to have a car that's enjoyable to drive. But yeah, it feels that, like, you just got to stay away from what everybody is wanting. You know, if you want to build an FD RX-7, there's no possible way to do that cheaply. You know, if you want to build an R34 GTR, it's not going to happen cheaply. Like,
yeah. What would you say is, like, this is such a wild question, but an alternative. So if I was like, hey, what's an alternative to an FD RX-7? What would you recommend someone go build if you think they wanted to experience something along those lines?
Yeah, that's a crazy question.
It is. It's fucking wild. I know that.
RX-7.
And you want something along those lines. Is there a BMW that fits into that? Is there?
I feel like you could have a heavily modified FRS. You could probably have a rotary powered FRS for less money than FD.
Yeah, or is it, like, cheaper to get an FC, or is it, you know, like,
I mean, that makes sense. That's the same lineage of car, at least, and, like,
RX-8. RX-8's vastly cheaper, for sure.
Yeah, RX-8.
Oh, hey, yeah. That's not a bad way to
look. Those cars are very cheap.
It's a way better car. I don't know what you would do for an engine. Really?
Kevin, I was going to say, to your point, it doesn't even, you can still buy real wheels. I think you just need to steer away from.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah.
Clout.
I was just being like, okay, like, I'm going to try to build a very, very cheap car. And then it would just be like, all right, choose a chassis that's not super common, that people aren't super, super into. And then, yeah, like, you know, get wheels that, same thing. Yeah, maybe people aren't super into, or like, replica wheels or whatever, if you will. And, like, you know, you can have a car that fools a lot of people, if you will, or, like, looks very much into a certain genre and didn't really cost you a lot to get there, you know?
I would go as far to say you could take an unconventional route and build a very cool car for less money than going the conventional route, to a degree. So it's like,
if you know what you're doing,
or
you know how to do the fab work to get there. Because it's like, if no company makes coilovers for the car you're trying, or arms, and you know you need to make those things, then those are big hurdles if you're not.
I should reiterate, I was going to say, like, as you know, to go back to, even, I don't know if I would do it, but the RX-8 is way less conventional than an RX-7. Or an FC, right? Like, and so there are coilovers for that car, and you can get named. You could go to a catalog and buy period correct wheels for that car. Now, the downside of it is you might have to explain to people why you didn't get BSKFs and why you bought these other work wheels. But you can still have the things. It's just you have to be willing to operate outside of, I guess, the like extreme popular, or to paraphrase maybe what Gerard said earlier, the cloutiness of the things. I think it's like there's definitely room for creativity in what we do.
It already feels like the RX-8 is outside of the clouty and extreme popular.
Yes, you know? It is. But yeah, and I was also going to say, I feel like when I got the Aristo, and when Gerard, when you were building your Aristo, they weren't as popular as they are now. Like that was I bought my car at that time with a ton of shit done to it for like $9,500. Now I get that doesn't exist in that way anymore, but like you have to find that thing that's like before it blows up. When you go to the thing that's already blowing up, you're kind of fucked, and then you end up in that situation. It's like, realistically, I couldn't be in the JZS 16 game right now because of the way things are, but there's other cars out there. Like Kevin just got the GS 430, which is, I think, going to have a ton of potential if you're on the look for it. And, you know, like chances are a lot of those wheels in the newer catalogs are going to look great on that car because they're kind of built to go with that car.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the oldest wheels I can.
Yeah. Well, you're you. So I like that. That's great.
I'm going to whistle and diesel it and put wagon wheels on it.
Done.
Example. Brand new SSR GTX 03, 10.5 by 18, 15 offset, $1,000. Buy it now. They're not VSKFs. They're not Blitz 03s, but that's a good ass wheel. And a car could look really, really good on those wheels. And they're literally 1/7 the fucking price.
Yeah. Right? I agree with you.
You could build a very impactful car with those wheels. Another one, SA15R Weds. That's a great wheel. Could look super fucking cool. Buy it now, $1,000. Oh, that one's current, but whatever. They're not expensive wheels, but I mean, they could still. I mean, it is a one piece wheel. Oh, where's the V here, buddy?
Listen, buddy, I love a one piece wheel. No, you're not wrong. These wheels are great for an 18. That's a really good size set of four.
Landed those. Would be like $1,400. In fact, I think I might buy them.
An idea of like thinking outside of the box. Maybe that's how this stays affordable.
There's also value to be had everywhere a bit that can be impactful. You know what I mean? And then it's like, that's part of the E90 push. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a great car. It's very impactful, but it's also cheap.
And I mean, yeah, another perfect example. It's JZX 100. That's the clout car. That's the popular car. Is it the best car? Like performance wise, probably not. JZX 110. I know Americans can't get 110s yet, but for us, JZX 110 is a way more value proposition. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like you get a JZX 110 Barossa or Mark II or whatever for way less than a fucking 100.
But one thing I will say though, unfortunately, is like, or fortunately, or whatever, whichever way you want to look at it, it's like anytime the car becomes 25 years and accessible to the States, by then it's dropped off and like it becomes way more expensive for us and not worth it because we can get the newer cars.
I agree with you on that one too. There's so a like, lot of real nice wheels here.
Could have bought like 100s, you know. That's the thing, it's just like, you know, don't put it on the podcast, don't ruin the secret. We should, but you know, the whatever, when do 110s become available in the States? We should just already own 10.
Mine's 2027, my car.
2027. So yeah, like 3 years before that, we should just buy a bunch of 110s or
You can get them earlier. Mine's a 2002. Yeah. You can get them, I think, in 2000 or 1999 even.
So that would be already then.
Maybe not then. Maybe it's 2001.
Yeah, if it's 2000, we should just buy a bunch of 110s right now, hold them for 6 months, sell them to the States.
Yeah, the 110s and stuff like that. I mean, the way the Blit is tricky, I feel like, but the 110s will probably resonate with people. But
that is a 110. You mean Mark II?
I know, but it's a just, I mean, like the WEG story.
Honestly, the like Crown, the Crown's the move, man. People are fucking chomping at the bit for the Crown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the takeaway here is like, if you want to keep being in the game that we're in, is that you kind of got to get creative. And creative. I think,
yeah.
Yeah. You can't be chasing the things that other people want. Around the time I was looking for the Aristo, the idea of a Supra never really entered my mind because it was twice the cost of the Aristo. And I was like, oh, and I'll get the same engine and like, but I'll have a 5-speed and it'll be a sedan. And that's like way fucking cooler in my mind. But yeah, like it was, you know, that wasn't the hot thing. I guess if I had a time machine, I'd maybe have more money. But I, if I had the Aristo and I, or sorry, if I had the Supra and then I could sell it and all my woes would go away. But yeah, it was just the idea. It's like, hey, everyone's going to zig and I'll zag over to this thing. And that would just so happens that the thing that I zagged to as well, Gerard can speak to this, is that so many people are into that as a thing. And I do really think that or believe the 3GSs and all that other and all the like the next gen ISs are going to be a thing for people, because why wouldn't they be? But that's my thought.
One thing I will say though is I am on Yahoo and I am looking at wheels. Realistically, all those wheels have gone up. Like I remember the Koenigs, even for example, I remember seeing Koenigs original, you know, not rebarreled and shit, that in aggressive sizes, they were already in the $5,000 to $6,000 range like last year. And I did find a couple of sets of VSKFs that are original in aggressive sizes, and they're, you know, well over $5,000. So 7,700 with tires, it's not so hard to lunch. And I mean, people can hate on it all they want, but like, then go, you know, buy some faces and buy some barrels and buy some hardware and get them built, put them together, and they'll leak, and they'll bend, and then you'll be like, oh, they're the best, but then they're not, and then, you know, a year or two later, you'll be like, man, I fuck these things, you know? So, yeah, that's
well, maybe. Great.
Yeah. I do feel like that was, like, the perfect end.
Mm-hmm.
That is
full, you brought a full circle to that, how the wheel wasn't really such a bad deal in the end, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
It's got the tire. With that, it's not going to leak.
Holy fuck, those are
got
nice.
Some guarantees. And they got a storefront. Go back to them if you don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. Throw the wheel through the front window.
Anyway, all right. Well, with that, I think it's a good time when we start talking about vandalism and, you know, property damage. What is that, a misdemeanor? I don't even know. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a good time to call it. So, hey, what a journey we were on this time. It was nice that we were all on the same page this time. We were less argumentative with me, which I appreciate. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to reach out to us. We love the feedback. If there's something you would like us to talk about, by all means, reach out. If there's someone you would like us to talk to and have suggestions, let us know. We'll try our best. As always, check out the Serial 9 website. See what's going on there. See you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you for listening.
Sorry.
Maybe next time Ryan will have a voice.
I don't know.
Dude, it sounds like your voice is also going
up. I know. My voice is fucking banging.
Y'all both voice be fucked up.
Yeah, I was holding it in. I had to cough and I just wanted to get it in.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. You're the best.
Thanks for listening to Serial Podcast 9.